Hey guys, this is Chris with a great tip for you. If you're looking for a great way to monitor other advertisers' ads on AdWords, Jason and I recommend Brand Verity. It's kind of like a smoke alarm for your campaigns. It works like this. When other advertisers bid on your trademarks, or they use your brand name in their ads, or you just want more information about your competitors, Brand Verity helps protect your most valuable PPC traffic by giving detailed reports on the search ads for your most important keywords. Right now, Brand Verity is offering paid search podcast listeners a free month of monitoring. Just go to brandverity.com/podcast. That's brandverity.com/podcast to try it out.
Yes. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Taking this podcast to the next level, and we'll explain that at some point. But Chris, welcome back to the podcast. I got this nice blue fuzz on my mic, so apparently I can talk as loud as I want.
No more hard peas.
Chris, how's it going, man? You doing okay?
Yeah. Looking forward to a day off tomorrow.
Because tomorrow's Saturday?
Yeah. No, it's jury duty.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. No wonder you're stressed. Chris, you just had to say so, man.
Yeah, jury duty.
So. Are you just being called in, or have you already gone through the process?
Just being called in, hoping they're going to let me go. You know, it's just, you know, for a working man, self-employed, you know, it's the kind of thing you, it's tough to be pulled away from the office like that. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes, but hopefully
give you a little advice here. When I was first starting my company, super stressed out, super motivated, and then I got called in for what was my second jury duty in like a few span of a few months. So one of the things, it was, and then I was like, what's going on? Is this a stupid case? Turned out it was a murder trial, and the prosecutors were asking for life in prison. And then on top of all that, it was like snowing outside, and I was like, how am I going to drive across town at 4 o'clock? So when they were asking us questions all day, trying to figure out who they want on the trial, it just, I don't know why, but it just popped out of my mouth. They asked us, like, can you believe everything people say on the stand? How do you tell if a person's trustworthy? And then they called on me, and I said, well, if you lie under oath, that's perjury, and that's a felony, and you can go to prison. So I think, to me, that means everyone who says they're under oath must be telling the truth. But I said it like I believed it, because I kind of did for the moment. I don't know why I said it, and apparently they thought I was crazy.
And, because you had too much trust?
Yeah, because I trusted them. So, honestly, do it for the pod.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is illegal, but say that in your jury duty, and let's see what happens.
Okay.
Because you'll probably get kicked off the jury.
Yeah, that's probably horrible advice, especially to say on a public broadcast. But
So you're definitely not going to do it
now. Yeah, I'm definitely not going to do that. Yeah, yes. So cool AdWords stuff we'll talk about today. Segue straight into
Okay, that. Chris, I'll go back to AdWords. You put the dad in data columns. So, wow. Yes, that was off the cuff. Chris, last week you came to me and you said, we've got all these great things lined up for the podcast, guest, AdWords reporting, AdWords freelancing, but I want to talk about data columns, and I want to know why. So today, Chris, we're going to go through data columns. I'll give my 2 cents, but you said you were going to start us off here with the basic data columns. Why don't you tell people what they are and kind of what they're missing out on at a basic level?
Yeah, so data columns are the columns that provide the metrics of your AdWords campaign. And believe it or not, there are a lot more data columns than you may be aware of. The fact is, a lot of clients that talk to me want to know, like, what should I even be looking at? They don't even know, which ones are important, which ones aren't important. And the fact is, Jason, what's the first thing you do when you start a new account, right? Before you even start a campaign, well, you started the campaign, those default columns, how much do you love those default columns?
Yes, the first thing I do is I go into the account and then I was going to say, never mind. So just some stuff you can't say, Chris. And now we're like double public. I'm frazzled.
Restrain yourself.
Anyway, yeah. So what I do the first time, Chris, honestly, is I've it's so tedious that I've honestly stopped doing it. So I don't even do it till the account is built. Mm-hmm. But what I used to do and what I have to do before I start managing it is I change my column. So on the campaigns page, I go to the columns row right below the campaign tab, right below that. Click on columns, and then I customize my columns, Chris. And I don't remember what they put in there at the very beginning because I've changed it on all my accounts, so I can't look at it. But I know it has to do with interaction rates. They tell you interactions, interaction rate, cost, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But for me, I have to see other stuff like clicks, impressions, yeah, cost per click, conversions. So the first thing I do on all my tabs, Chris, campaign, ad group, ads, keywords, is I go in there and I add my own columns of data, which is what we're going to be talking about today.
Right. And, you know, those interaction rates, things like that, honestly, we'll just give you a hint here. That's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about are, and I'm going to categorize this, basic level metrics, decision maker metrics, and expert level metrics. Okay. And I'm going to go through and we're going to talk about different levels of these columns that can provide this information for you. And some of it is more valuable than others. And sometimes you may not even need some of these columns because you may not have the right campaign or something like that. But let's go through it. Obviously, the first things first is the basic stuff: clicks, impressions, cost per click, cost, and average position, right? Always, Jason, this is an obscure question, but do you put your impressions before your clicks or your clicks before your impressions? I like to have my clicks first.
Oh, that's why we get along, Chris. I'm a clicks first guy myself.
That's because it's not the default.
And I'm surprised it's taken you a year to ask me. Yeah, it's they like putting impressions first. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I go clicks, I go impressions, I go click through rate, because in my mind, click through rate only has to do with clicks and impressions. So we'll do clicks, impressions, then we'll do click through rate. And then I like to put in an average CPC. Mm-hmm. And then since now we're talking dollars, I'm going to put in cost next to that, total cost. Then I like my average position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. It's exactly the same order. Wow. that I have mine. That's really interesting because I always manually move clicks up before impressions because, you know what, when we're talking about basic does not get any more basic than impressions. You know, if you're running a campaign that's not about just eyes on the ad, which honestly, I don't know if you would even accept a job that's just focused on impressions or eyeballs on ads, because those are boring to do. I've done them before. Yep. They're miserable campaigns to manage. Just show my ad to as many people as possible. It's just trash. Right. So, you know, what I like is clicks, you know, and so that's the basic stuff. Always have that stuff up front. What we're going to talk about now is the stuff to the right. Okay?
Right.
I left off one thing on that list: clicks, impressions, cost per click, cost, and average position. The one I left off, you already mentioned it: click through rate. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Click through rate. Yep.
I think that is one of the very first decision makers. Right?
Yep.
When it comes to cost, when it comes to click through rate, I think this is a decision maker in making choices about how your campaign is performing.
Right.
Right? A lot of people like to know what's a good click-through rate. You know, I usually say, you know, 3 to 6% is a really good range to be in.
3 to 6.
I don't know.
Wow.
What's your thoughts?
I do like 3 to 6, but I'm more thinking, my mindset today, Chris, is more about starting a campaign, because whenever you add data columns, you're starting the campaign kind of. So I like to see a 2 to 3.
Okay.
When I'm starting brand first day, second day, that's when I know things are going well. A few months into the campaign on a search campaign, I don't mind seeing 4, 5, 6%. And then even with expanded ads, you can get up to 7, 8, 9, you know, percent. But definitely when you're starting, you don't want to see 1%, even though that's a metric they give.
Yeah.
That's kind of the threshold. 1% to me is not good.
Yeah.
And you definitely don't want to see below.
Yeah, if you're hitting 1%, I would really be worried about the my traffic. I've missed something. I've left off a negative keyword. I forgot to put something in.
Something's too broad. Yeah.
Yeah, something's not in brackets that should be in brackets or something like that. Yeah.
But of course, Chris, that always goes back to average position. Click-through rate and average position are tied together.
It's true. Because
for the most part, the lower the position, the lower the click-through rate, for the most part.
Yeah.
So if you see a 1% or below, maybe you'll see a position 5 or 4. So this is another example, Chris. You can't really make decisions about if your click-through rate is good or bad unless you see the average position.
Yeah.
And you can't see that unless you're manually adding these data columns. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Good point. So decision maker number one, click-through rate. You have low click-through rate. That's going to, you know, this is a column you need to pay attention to for a decision. Okay. Number two, I think these three all go together. We're talking about the golden rule of AdWords management, conversions. Yep. You know, conversions means someone's taking an action on your website. If you don't have conversions set up, slap on the wrist about that. First, obviously, set up conversions. You're not going to see the conversion tracking show up unless you have it set up in your campaign. So that's number one. Once you have it set up, you need to see conversions happening. Okay, this is decision maker maybe number two, because you're going to get click-through rate immediately. Number two is you're going to start getting conversion data after that. You need to make decisions about, is this enough conversion volume to make this profitable for the advertiser? You know, is this worth it? Conversion rate, Jason, I don't know if I would even venture to give a conversion rate average because it's not like a click-through rate. It's so...
It depends on everything. It depends on the industry. Depends on the region. Some people are more likely to call in than other parts of the country. Depends on what you're advertising, and then of course, it matters, but it doesn't matter because the cost per conversion matters more than the conversion rate. But just like you, Chris, my next columns are conversions. I like cost per conversion right after conversions. And then after that, I've got conversion rate. So I never really find myself, Chris, going, is this campaign performing well? Oh, I have a 2% conversion rate. Oh, I'm not happy with that. I never go through that thought pattern. It's more about, like, am I getting conversions? Okay, yes or no. No, something's wrong. Yes, okay, that's good. But what is my cost per conversion? And is that profitable compared to the value to that conversion? Assuming we know that. So I'm, in terms of judging success and measuring that data and making decisions, Chris, I'm looking at volume. I like keywords and campaigns to get conversions, but then beyond that, I'm looking at cost per conversion, huge. So to me, the idea of running an AdWords campaign with conversions but not updating your columns to include cost per conversion is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm definitely have cost per conversion.
I'll tell you one thing I like about conversion rate, in a way to make this a decision maker type of column, is comparison month to month. One thing I really like to look at is, did we have a better conversion rate last month compared to this month? That tells me a lot. It's usually where my eye goes, because let's say a client spends, you know, $1,500 one month, and the next month it's $3,000. They would get more volume, right? To be like, hey, you got twice as many leads. Well, I spent twice as much, jerk. I want to know, how did I do better overall compared month to month?
Right.
You can tell that by the conversion rate, cost per conversion, right? That's what it really comes down to. It's not necessarily about volume in that case when you compare month to month, because not every month is equal. You know, you might have added more keywords, you added more spin to it. All kinds of stuff can change.
Chris, I find myself looking at conversion rates when something's gone wrong.
Mm.
When I'm trying to audit an account and see, okay, why are our overall conversions down this month compared to maybe the last quarter? And then I'll do like this month versus what the client said was a good month, maybe 6 months ago. And oftentimes the conversion rate kind of tells a story. It doesn't tell you what's gone wrong, but it tells you, like, okay, something is wrong if your conversion rate used to be 15% and now it's like 3. So it kind of gives me a clue. Something people may ask about, Chris, I don't see them in here anymore. So I think they're gone, but some people's accounts might still have them in there, are converted clicks. That was a different way to track conversions, but those have now been phased out.
Right.
So if you still see those in your account under your columns, go ahead and switch them out with conversions.
Yeah, good point. Conversions. When I said conversions, I specifically mean conversions, not click conversions, because conversions are now the standard
right.
for measuring leads in AdWords.
So, absolutely. Chris, before we get to the impression shares, some people out there are gonna, and I see it there on the expert level, so maybe we'll wait till we get there. But like, I never do conversion value because we're all lead gen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use that on the campaign page?
Yes.
Okay, you and do. All right. We'll get to that. But yeah.
Yeah.
I never do that.
We'll talk about how I use it, and I'll explain how maybe other people can, and maybe why they would not be able to.
Right.
And how they could try if they aren't doing it already. But yeah, let's move to the next thing. And this is a big decision maker. When I talk about decision maker, these are things I use every day. When I'm on a phone call with a client and they're like, "So how are things going?" This is where my eyeball goes. I want to tell them how much they're covering their market. If they're covering the market really well, I'm going to see a strong search impression share. If I want to diagnose a problem, then I have the other columns I look at: search lost IS rank and search lost IS budget.
Right.
Okay. These two are, if you're diagnosing a problem, you know, if your search impression share isn't in the 90% range, you want to diagnose why is it not. Those next two, the search lost IS rank and budget, those two are important because they tell you why your search impression share is not at 90% or 95% or maybe 100%.
Right.
Very, very few people are going to hit that 100% mark. But let's explain, Jason, you explain what search lost IS rank and,
right.
and budget is all about. Why is that so strange? Why is IS capitalized?
That stands for impression share. And there's, if you don't have 100% impression share, if you're not showing up on searches all the time that you could be for the times that your ads run for your keywords in the areas you run, you're missing out on some. The reason you're missing out on some is either due to your ad rank is too low to show up, or your budget is too small, and there's more searches beyond what your budget could show you up on. So in terms of rank, Chris, it means that your ad rank is too low. But if you have a good campaign for all your major keywords, your ad rank is going to be high enough. So why does ad rank, search impression share, lost you to ad rank when there's come in at like maybe always like you've lost 5 to 10%. I don't know. I think it's just because there's so many different searches with phrase match and broad match that you're just not going to show up every single time. But if you can get that search loss due to impression share or search lost impression share due to rank down to under 10%, I'd say you're doing pretty good.
Yeah. And honestly, I think a healthy campaign will have some search lost due to rank because sometimes you just don't rank on some of those searches because
someone else is bidding crazy.
Yeah, there's yeah. just you just don't match for it. I think a healthy campaign will have some loss due to rank. And you know, honestly, sometimes you might be working with a campaign that's, you know, a 30% search impression share. I know I do. I have clients that I get great conversions, I get solid traffic, but the fact is they only give me a couple $100 to work with. And, you know, I cut off days of the week. I cut off hours of the day. I might stop mobile traffic. I might stop, you know, certain keywords that are broader facing. But in the end, I only get like maybe 40, 50% at best. Right. And that's what I have to go with. So the decision that you're trying to make here is how impactful are these ads? When someone says, "Hey, I searched on Google and I don't see myself," how's your search impression share? Is it suffering? Right. Is it really low? That's why you don't see yourself all the time. So,
right.
Very important decision-making column there. Next.
Phone call conversion. I don't even know. What is that, Chris?
So,
I don't even know what this is.
Role-playing here. I'm sure you do.
No, I don't. I've never heard of phone call conversion.
Oh, okay. Well, phone call.
I mean, I look at my segments on conversions and see which ones come from phone calls.
Well, there's a
I
difference.
I don't need that spoon-fed to me.
Yeah, you know that there's a difference between a phone call and a phone call that lasts over 60 seconds, right?
Right.
Okay.
Or so whatever your time is.
You might get 80 phone calls.
Right.
I was just talking to a client the other day that they have a golf course, and they got 30 phone calls in the month, which sounds great. The fact is, only three of those lasted over 59 seconds.
Right.
So phone call conversion is a phone call that is above that 60-second mark. And that's
so the, you like to see the phone calls broken out, the conversion if, phone calls.
Yeah, if you have forms on your site and you get forms and you get phone calls, that's an immediate way without having to segment your data to see how many forms am I getting and how many of those are phone calls.
It's interesting. I also on some of my accounts I add the phone call column, just phone calls, without the modifier there of phone call conversion. And that's kind of my cheat sheet during the day. I like to check in on an account and go, okay, are we getting phone calls here?
Okay.
Without having to go to the dimensions tab. So I think that's why I have phone calls. But it does make sense to have phone call conversions to see how many are actually becoming, how many meet the time length. I think I just put in phone calls there because clients like action. So not every call is going to meet the time length requirement. Some days are going to be better than others, but I just like seeing that action is happening, and that things are going the way they should in terms of the phone ringing. So it's interesting. We both put in something related to phone call at the end of our campaign columns here. So, Chris, let me ask you a quick question while we get off of decision makers. Do you include the social metric of how many plus ones you got that day?
Is that a joke? No,
that's not a joke. That's a question.
No.
Just curious.
I've never looked at that. The social interactions columns, I would put at the same value of looking at average cost or interaction percentages or things like that. Do you look at that?
No, but I was just asking you. I don't care.
I don't care how many plus ones my ads have gotten. Screw you guys. Call the client. Don't plus one them. I don't care.
Okay. So I was just seeing if you looked at those. So, what I'm trying to get at here, Chris, is there's a ton of, there's a ton of other columns you could add at the campaign level. But do you need any more columns to do a great job managing an account at the campaign level? I don't think so, because both you and I use those same columns we just went over.
Yeah.
And we do a great job. So all this other stuff in there, it might be good. You might find it interesting, but you and I don't find a need for them. The one thing I do look at, Chris, sometimes is invalid clicks. Okay. There's some clients who are in shady industries, locksmiths, and they get a lot of click fraud, and sometimes it's really bad. Now, click fraud's hardly ever a problem with Google, Chris. Like, they're on top of that. But for clients who have complained about it to me, I like looking at that invalid clicks column. And if they're like, they call me up during the day, Jason, the same guy clicked on us 5 times. We're getting all these repeats. I'm like, calm down. Let's look at your invalid clicks column. There's 20 invalid clicks today. They credited all those back. You're not charged for them. So for some accounts, locksmiths, I like to keep track of the invalid clicks.
You know, I just talked to a locksmith earlier today, and I mentioned that same thing to him because he was saying, you know, Chris, I have a good week and I have just horrible weeks. What's the deal? And I mentioned, you know, that and it was news to him. He'd never heard of that. So it could be a real thing. I'm testing out some stuff and maybe remind me in a couple of weeks and we'll see how that goes through. But I'm trying a new software to see if I can get him, Chris, better results.
Last thing I wanted to point out to people, search impression share, lost you to rank, search impression share, lost you to budget. Display has those same three columns, display impression share, display lost you to rank, and display impression share, lost you to budget. So if you're running a display campaign, it makes sense to have those in there instead of the search campaign. The times I like to do it, Chris, is I like to know sometimes display ads never show up. And I'm like, well, am I bidding too low? And they're like, you just bid a penny. stop bidding like Chris Schaefer. And so then I'm like, I start my display really low because I don't want it to explode.
Yeah.
And so I like to see how low I can go. Sometimes it's a little bit too low. And then I'm like, okay, am I at like 90% ad rank missing out due to ad rank? And then also, I like the budget thing. I like knowing how much bigger a display campaign could get. So that's when I use it for display.
Okay.
But most of the time, Chris, as we move on here to expert level,
expert and maybe level,
the other tabs, I put the display columns in the ad groups usually, okay. and not yeah. at the search level, not and, at the campaign level.
And I'll keep in the order that I'm going through these are not necessarily the order that I have them in my view. I want to be clear about that. Some of them. Right. I may not have it all for some clients, and some I do. Some of them are different orders. So I'm not necessarily talking about this is the order that you'd have them. I'm just talking about these are the levels of importance that I have them. So when we move to expert level, this is some stuff that there's two things here that I want to talk about. And not everybody can use these. I don't say expert. If you're not using these, then you're not at the expert level. That is not the case. What I'm talking about is these are some things that you can really make some great decisions, make some advanced decisions, but it may not be relevant to everyone. Okay, so here's the first one: labels. Okay, we've talked about labels in the past, but basically the label system is a way to compare metrics across borders. Right? This is metrics without borders. Right? What I use labels for is to define, you know, is this keyword at this certain level or this level? And then I compare all those levels across the metrics to see, you know, how they perform. Is this ad group at, something that uses broad keywords or phrase keywords? And I put labels on those and I can compare across the board how broad keywords perform, how phrase keywords perform, stuff like that. I use labels for some clients and other ones I don't. I'll tell you, if you want to know, should I use labels? I have a very good solution on how to answer this question. If you have a question to answer and you can't get it through normal column conversion data or click-through rate data, the answer is yes, you should use labels. If you don't have a question to answer, or some type of data you're trying to get out of the program, don't use labels, because labels will only provide you with more data that you just don't know what to do with, right? More data right. that doesn't answer a question is wasted brain power. It does not matter. The only way you're going to use labels is if you have a solution or a problem or a question you're trying to address. That's what labels are good for.
So don't put in a label that says high CTR. For ads that get a high click-through rate. I've seen that before.
Great. What's that going to tell you? Great. It looks fancy, but...
Yeah. So sometimes I get into accounts, Chris, and I see an extreme crazy amount of labels, and I don't understand what they're doing. For me, I use labels on the campaign level when I'm running an experiment to remind myself that that campaign has an experiment running. Mm-hmm. And then I find myself using labels for ads. Like if we add a new set of ads, like one time last week, a client asked us to use specific copy, and it may not be the best copy in our opinion, but he wanted to use it. So I marked those ads that I was kind of questionable about as his ads with his name. And then that helps me when I go back in there, I can look at that column and be like, okay, these are the ads that were kind of questionable ads from Joe or whatever. And that helps me know, like, if they have a super bad click-through rate, okay, this is why.
Yeah.
And then but same thing, like, if I test out new ad copy, I might put in the date that I test it. But other than that, Chris, I don't find myself using labels that much.
Yeah, me neither. No, that's why I wanted to caveat, with this may not be for everyone. And this last one is certainly not for everyone. And Jason, I know you already mentioned this. So conversion value, okay. So conversion value, just to give a brief understanding of how this works, is you get 15 conversions in a month, okay? Let's say those conversions are worth $10 each. That means your total conversion value is $150, okay? You've generated a conversion value of $150, okay? Right. This is valuable for people that can or are able to assign a value to a conversion action. Okay.
Right.
I'll tell you, Jason, the majority of my clients cannot. Most of the time, I do not have a conversion value to look at.
Right.
Who it is valuable for are people that can assign a value to an action. E-commerce. Absolutely. You should always make sure that you have conversion data for your e-commerce. You want to make sure, because e-commerce is black and white. Right. It should be making money or losing money, because that's what it comes down to. You're either making money or you're losing money. You're either spending more in AdWords or you're than you're making, or you're making more than you're spending.
Right.
Right? It's going to be one way or the other.
Yeah, and for lead generation, Chris, same thing. Not a lot of my clients do that, but it's not that difficult to do it. It would look something like this, Chris. Let's say, hypothetically, for a moving company, their average job value was, say, $900. And then on top of that, because you get a new customer, because of that all that lifetime value, the repeat business, the referrals, we'll add another $120 to the $900. So the average lifetime value of a moving client is $1,020. But this client has noticed that they close half of the leads they get. The leads are really good. Our conversion rate is maybe 10 to 20%. But of those leads that we do get, we close half of them and they become clients. So then we'll divide that by two. And that means every lead, every conversion is worth $510. Because they know that for every two leads they close, or they bring in, one is going to close. And based on the lifetime value, each conversion that comes in is $510. And then you can look at the cost per conversion, maybe $70, and you can know that you're running a profitable campaign. So that's how it would look for lead generation. But like you, Chris, I don't see a lot of people doing that, even though they should.
Yeah. I mean, the same reason you don't have a lot of people that have budgets for their money. And it takes time and it takes effort to think through those things. You know, there's a lot of effort involved, and you're exactly right. That's exactly how I use it for lead gen for my clients. But most of the time when I ask a client how much, you know, is one client worth to you, they have the hardest time determining that number. I mean, they have no idea. So it's,
I don't know.
We
had a good month last month.
Yeah. I mean, they can't think beyond today. It's amazing. If I try and say, like, well, let's talk about big picture stuff, they can't get past it. So,
but
a lot of times
the tools
are
there. The platform is there if you want to take advantage of it.
Yeah, great stuff, because then you can really see, like, what's generating the most value here. I mean, it's really good, especially. But for e-commerce, if you're not doing an e-commerce, shame on you. Fix that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're an AdWords manager, not promoting that.
Oh, if you're an AdWords manager. Yeah. You know, slap on the wrist for that, sure. But
so
that's
Chris,
it.
Those are your metrics. You wrote down crap metrics, and
I mean,
we don't have to get into them, but they're nothing
interactions.
Want to hear about
the interaction stuff and the average cost stuff? Get rid of it. You shouldn't be looking at that stuff.
Yeah. So Chris, I've got a couple final tips here for people. One is, if you run YouTube campaigns, you're going to need a totally new set of columns. I like looking at views. Average cost per view. And then finally, Chris, there's a great metric called video play to 25%, 50%, 75%, 100%. And it will tell you what percent of your views watch the first quarter of a video, what percent watch the first half, what percent watch three quarters, and what percent watch the full video. And that's a great way to convey value to a client, because you can actually tell them, hey, you got 1,000 views and 400 of them watch the full thing, and 700 of them watch at least three quarters. So I like that for YouTube. And then finally, Chris, quality score. I like having that on keywords, knowing what's going on there. And then here's a good one, Chris, that you probably have not run into too much. One time I took over an account, and we had no idea where the traffic was going, because we would click on the ads, and it would go to a totally different, like, they weren't getting any traffic in Google Analytics. And we were like, what is going on? So they had keyword URLs the keyword level overrides the ad level URL. And just because an ad points to example.com, if you put in example.com/2 or /A or whatever the page name is at the keyword level, it'll override that ad when it comes from that keyword. So to figure out what those are, you have to open up the keyword URL column. And so, I think they now they call it the final URL at the keyword tab.
I'm pretty sure people that do keyword URLs have additional software that helps them manage and implement those, because if you're doing it by hand, it's a disaster. And it is, I mean,
that's what this situation was, by the way.
Yeah. It's terrifying, because you set up an ad, you're like, okay, this ad's going to that. And the keyword URL will ruin everything. You forget that you have keyword URLs. Yeah, I've been there before. You're right. That's something to definitely be careful of. But overall, I mean, that's it. I mean, I think everyone should have a good idea about, you know, what are the decision maker metrics for my campaign and what should I be looking at? That's it. I think it's good stuff. And Jason, do you want to talk about what we got coming up next week?
Yeah, everybody just lay back, breathe, loosen up, start breathing deep. Let me tickle you and tease you verbally. So next week, oh my gosh, Chris, we're going to do it. We're going to go over AdWords freelancing tips.
Yeah.
And let's take care of a little off-air business right now, Chris, while we're on there. What part do you want to talk about? Client acquisition, management? What are you thinking here?
You know, listeners have a week to respond, and maybe they'll have some input. We're teasing this because, guys, this is something we get asked about a lot. And Jason and I have refused to share this publicly because, honestly, I mean, being transparent here, this is really valuable information. And Jason and I are about to, next week, we're going to give this out.
Yep.
Jason, I've worked since 2003 in my own business, learning how to do stuff like this, making these decisions, failing, and then, you know, getting back up and trying it again. And I'm going to share some stuff about client acquisition, management, you know, business tips for an AdWords manager. And, you know, I'd like to hear some questions from people that are out there that'd like to learn more. But if you are a freelance or like to be a freelance, you work for an agency or something, you'd like to do it on your own, This is the podcast episode for you. Episode 50.
Yep, right? Big episode 50. And we'll definitely break that into different parts, Chris. And we'll pick on one next week to kind of get into it. And then also down the line, we're going to talk about AdWords reporting.
Yeah.
So all that said, Chris, thank you for joining me here on another
afternoon.
It's been great. And everyone out there, we called for the AdWords reviews. You delivered, or not the AdWords reviews, the iTunes reviews, and we got some more of those, so we appreciate that.
Thank you.
And we're also seeing those numbers go up, so we appreciate you guys sharing the show. So share and leave us your questions at paidsearchpodcast.com. And then, as always, Chris, like we've done for the last year, and we will do for the next 27 years, we will be here every Monday. And that's it for this week's episode of the Paid Search Podcast.